How is everybody today? We're doing good? Good, good, good. So we've been going through the book of Revelation. Pastor Jim started that in February, I think. And the reason we've been going through the book of Revelation is because of what's been going on in our world. And there was a lot of interest from people to say, you know, if this is what's going to come at the end times, we'd like to revisit that and see what, you know, what do we got to expect? So I have a question for you. Do you believe that we're in the end times? Do you believe that Christ's return is near? I want to raise the hands on that. How many of you believe that Christ's return is near? Amen. I do too. I think as we look to the world, we see what's going on. We can kind of attribute those things that we see to Christ's soon return. So today, I got to say something. Sometimes God gives you something to say, and it makes you a little uncomfortable. I got to say, I'm a little uncomfortable this morning. Is that okay? Can I just go? Will you give me permission to just speak what God's given to me? When I talk about the church this morning, just as when we talk about the church is never, when we see it in Scripture, is never the building. God's gifted us this building. This is the church building, but we are the church. Amen? Each and every one of us who calls ourselves a believer in Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the church, we mean the church worldwide, and it's everywhere, and there's things going on around the world that are exciting to hear. But I also want to specifically talk to this church, because this is the only church that we can do anything about, right? Or if you're here visiting, you have your church where you're from that you can do something about. So this is to you, even if you do not attend this church, but I am speaking to the church today. And we did talk last week. John said his message was, we are family. It's funny, I was trying to remember. I was up, like going through my notes, I'm like, what is the name of the title that he had? And I said, it went with a song, and all I could remember was, what's love got to do? And that was not the right song to go with what he went with there. So his was We Are Family, just as he shared. And it was about love being the driving factor for what we do, why we should be doing everything, that love is the driving factor and the most important commandment. But he also used a term last week, and I don't know if you caught it. You can say amen if you did. He used the word, when he was talking about the church, maintenance mode. Did you catch that last week? I want to explain what that, and that's been a discussion through some of us here in leadership of as we're always looking at the church, always concerned about this church, this fellowship, how we can best minister to the body. And so when you talk about maintenance mode, if you Google it, you'll get usually some terminology that goes with programmer. And I'm not a programmer, but from my understanding and maintenance mode and programming, you know, that when a software comes out or an operating system, there's lots of updates. And those of us who have Windows 10 know what that means. We've had a lot of updates in Windows 10. But usually each update would come with new features and exciting new things and new areas in which the software is going to function until they get to where they're just satisfied with where it's at, or they don't want to do anything more. And so they drop into maintenance mode where they only do things to keep it alive and to keep it safe. And we just kind of coast along until that software is no longer needed. I was talking about this with a brother here who's into weightlifting, and he said that also kind of goes with the fitness world too. You as a fitness person, you work out, you build to a certain level, and you can tell that's probably not one of my areas of expertise, but I am pretty pleased with where this is. I have to do a lot of work to maintain this. This takes a lot of work to maintain this. But you get in a fitness world, you get to a place where you're happy with where your body's at, and so you drop back to not trying to build on new, but just to make sure that things are functioning like they're supposed to work out enough to keep what you got, and to eat just to not gain any more, but to keep what you got. Here's the uncomfortable thing for me. I think the church today, and us included, a lot of churches across the United States have dropped into maintenance mode, where we're not seeing a lot of new come out of it and not a lot of new vision. We're not a lot of push towards, not I'm saying not none, but not a lot of push towards outward evangelism. No movement to more discipleship. No visible excitement sometimes for the gospel. Nothing new, exciting, explosive for the kingdom of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the church is dying. In fact, our church has been doing very well. We have lots of visitors that come here. And I know that you would know that if you've been coming here for any length of time, that we are a well-fed church when it comes to the spiritual things. Amen? We are taught God's word without, no halls barred. If there's something to learn and pick up from it, our pastor is very gifted in breaking the word down so that we can understand what it means and what it's there for. But are we shaking up the world for the kingdom of God? Are we shaking up the world for the kingdom of God? I believe that we're not. And I believe that this pandemic has had a lot to do with that. In fact, I think Satan was at work all the way through this pandemic. Would you give me an amen on that? Things happen. We live in a fallen world. There are going to be diseases and things that come our way. That's going to happen, okay? If God wanted to stop it, he could have stopped it. But like I said, I believe Satan's influence has been through this, because what I believe that Satan has done, and by the way, before I go any further, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all of us, me included, and the leadership of this church. I think this is a good thing to hear. It was difficult for me to hear. But Satan has lulled the church to sleep a little bit. Satan has drawn us in this, all of this fear, this isolation, this disconnection has taken the edge off of the church. It's kind of taken our edge off a little bit. What it's done is really focus us inward, hasn't it? Because, you know, it's about pulling back and staying in your own homes and keeping your eye on yourself. And it's been a very much focused inwardly. And I can relate to that. As God's talking to me through this, I'm like, yeah, I've pulled back and I put my focus inwardly, which is in complete contradiction to what the Word of God says that we're supposed to be doing. Amen? There's only one amen on that. And it didn't really start the pandemic. And in fact, if we read God's Word, and we read at any length of God's Word, we see that he kind of tells us through his Word that it's going to happen, that it's going to come in these last days. Things are going to happen. And some would say, I think you're wrong, Pastor Tracy. You don't know what you're talking about here. I think the church is just exactly where it needs to be. So we have to kind of look at something that is something we can look at that was the basis for what our faith is. And John mentioned it last week, and actually when he mentioned it, I knew I needed to go there this morning, and that was in the second chapter of Acts, that first church and what it looked like. So let's just take a quick look at that. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, it says, this is what it says they looked like. This was the picture of the church, and let's compare ourselves as the church, as a whole, as this church body. Let's compare ourselves to this, okay? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. How close are we to that today? This is a self-assessment today, guys. How close are we to that today? You can say, well, but that was perfection back then, man. But the same God, the same Holy Spirit, the same move was then that is now. Amen? But something has happened over time, and I think we see as we read Scripture, we knew that there was going to be this lulling that was going to happen throughout time. And God knew in the beginning that this pandemic was going to happen. I say that oftentimes in counseling. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place and we go, what? How did we get here? Whether it's in a marriage relationship or in a personal relationship or within a society, how did we get to this place? We're so technologically advanced. How could a pandemic shut down our entire world? How could we do that? But God said, I knew this was coming. I knew. And I'm still the same God that I was then that I am now. Amen? So he knew it was coming. Are we anywhere close to that first century church? No, we're not. We're not. Can we be? You shake your head with maybe. Yes, we can be. We can be much closer to what that first century church, and what that first century church was doing was shaking up the world for Jesus. They were shaking up the world for the gospel. They were excited. They were passionate. And what you will see here, and we're going to talk about, was a church that was very much united. And that's something that we're going to have to work at to get from where we've been back to that place where we're very much united and that we're intimate and entwined with him. I kind of see as I read through this, I get this picture that they all knew each other in, on a you know really deep basis. I know this brother over here. This is what's going on. And they were praying together. They were eating together. They were spending time in each other's homes, which is a very intimate thing to have someone into your home. And they were getting to know. And that was the thing that just really revved up what was coming out from the church. Now, just prior to what was said about the church, Peter spoke, and he by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to the people that were present there. And in verses 17 and 18, this is what he says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on the servants, both men and women, will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. In the last days, wait, we just agreed upon that, didn't we? That we are in the last days? If we are in the last days, where are these signs? Where are these things going on? I believe that they are going on within the body. We have to question ourselves and say, is it coming from me? Am I a part of that? This is what this is about. It's a self-assessment. Am I where I need to be? Am I living that life and living that true job as a representative of Christ? Am I excited? Am I passionate about my faith? Because these things are happening. In fact, John and I were just talking in the office a little bit earlier. There's been some, and I could not find the article, but there's been several articles or news reports that have come out from other countries where Muslims are coming to Christ on a massive amount of level. They're coming to Christ in droves because Christ is showing them himself to them in dreams and visions. Wouldn't that be awesome to see Christ standing right before you? That's what's driving them to the foot of the cross. Do you believe that still happens today? Not in my notes, but I want to tell you a little story about a young man. It is my niece's son. What would that be? He's my niece's son. His name is Bailey. Bailey is what? Is he like 17 or 18, I think, somewhere there? Bailey is very high-functioning Asperger's. He's extremely intelligent. Extremely intelligent. But he has really struggled with faith. I'll probably start crying during this, just so you know. He struggled with faith because he has to see it real before him. So faith means that we hear the story and we accept it based on what we read and we believe, but Bailey has to see it. He's into past wars and military things because he can look at pictures and see what took place. We have drawings and paintings, but we do not have a photograph of Jesus Christ. Bailey was spending time with his best friend who was also slightly higher on that Asperger's level, and they were spending time together, and it was time to go home, and so Bailey left, and he took off in his car. And Bailey is a conspiracy theorist to the core. Everybody's watching him, he thinks. While he's driving home, and they live in rural Indiana, a truck started following him. And of course, Bailey's like, he's following me. You know. So he did what all of us conspiracy theorists did. He started driving off on country roads and turning corners left and right, and the truck stayed with him the entire time. And he said, something inside of him said, pull over. So he did. Now, Bailey is, you have to understand, Bailey is a very intelligent man, but he does not have the ability to make up falsehoods. It's not within him. He can't. It's factual. It has to be factual. That's what he'll talk to you about. So he pulled over. And the truck pulled in behind him, and a man got out and came up to his window. And Bailey said, I rolled my window down. Now, his grandma's telling me this story, and she's like, what are you thinking? You pulled over, and then you roll your window down? That's going to be some crazy guy. So the man was kind of a little bit longer hair, had a kind of light skin, and he said he was kind of thin, and he had a shirt that really stood out to him, because Bailey wears this shirt that's, because he's military, that says, don't tread on me, and this said, don't tread on me, and but this had a picture in the middle. It was kind of not quite clear of what it looks like, but it involved a lion and a bunch of books, or a book sitting on a book. And he said he rolled the window down, but he kept his eyes looking forward. And this is Bailey, who would, he's very much guns. I don't think he's old enough to carry a gun, but he would have been more like jumping out and, you know, with a knife or who knows. He just, you know, you're going to come against me. And the gentleman said something along the lines of, and I don't have this exact, but something along the lines of, I hear you've been angry lately. And he has been. Bailey has been in a spot lately where it has been so bad with Bailey and his anger and what's come from him that he is about to get kicked out of his house. And this is a very godly family and all that, very much involved in the church, love the Lord, love each other. We love all of each other in this family. And he has pushed himself to that point where he's belittled his parents and just things coming out of him that they did not expect. It's been very bad. And they're, of course, praying. And so when that person said, "You've been very angry lately," he goes, Yeah, I have been angry. And so they talked, that words went back and forth, and the person said something along the lines, "I've been angry too in my life. I had some really close friends, and they turned on me, and I ended up in jail because of their actions." And at that point, Bailey said he thought something like, "Uh-oh, crackhead, you know, like, I don't know what this is." Kept his eyes forward. There was some more interaction. And then the man said, Bailey, how do you know my name? He said, "My father's here to help you. My father's here to help heal you. He wants to love on you, and he wants to show you healing." Bailey was blown away, and he turned, and the man was gone. He got to experience a vision of Jesus Christ standing before him. God knew the one thing that he needed, that Bailey needed, was to see a visual representation of Jesus Christ. And now, Bailey's, from what I'm hearing, he's completely changed. He is completely changed. He's a different boy. The anger is gone. That's a true story. Is God still at work? Does he have visions and dreams and miracles that he wants to pour out on his people, especially in these last days? I want to be used by that. Do you want to be used by that? So it says in the last days, these are the things that he wants to pour out. But folks, this is where we have to be. He will not do that with a complacent church, with a church that has come to a place where we say, we're comfortable right where we're at. We don't need to see anything new. We don't need to see anything exciting. The vessels that this move of the Spirit will go through are people who are alive and active for the kingdom of God. So if you want to be used in the use of miracles and dreams, and you want God to give you dreams, these are people who are not satisfied with the way things are. I am not satisfied with the way things are. Are you? They were telling us all through this pandemic, this is the new normal. Baloney. I refuse. I don't want to be pulled back and cut off and lulled into the sleep. He wants people who are passionate about their faith. No question for the faces that I look at across this congregation that you're saved. There's no question that you love the Lord. There's no question that you'd give your life for your fellow man. And not, there's no question in all that. But have we been satisfied just kind of come to church? Just come to church and get a little feeding and go home. It's all good. That's all we need. What he wants is people who will use their gifts and talents for one another. Now, you have all, if you do not believe that, you need to, and you need to hear me. God has given each and every one of us gifts and talents for what purpose? To glorify him. Are my gifts and talents for me? No. My gifts and talents are for you, and your gifts and talents are for me and for the person across the aisle. That's where Satan has worked here, to kind of get us separated a little bit, kind of push everybody, make you fear of everybody, kind of get that place where we're just kind of not connecting and we're not using our gifts and talents. You see it? Do you see it? My gifts and my talents are to use for you, for those around me. And everybody has been given one. And if you do not know what your gift is, first thing is this. If you're not saved, can I just tell you, listen, please, I plead with you. God's return is near. And I don't want to see you left here. I don't want to see in a blink of an eye that this sanctuary empties out and that there's still a few faces sitting here. So if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please, don't leave this place today. We have great elders and brothers in Christ who will pray with you so that you can walk away from here knowing I am saved. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus, and every sin that I have ever committed has been cast off to the deepest, darkest ocean. Christ and God to forget about them, never to be remembered again. Is that not awesome or what? So if you're not saved in this place, please don't. Don't go away from here, first of all, with that. And if you are saved and you don't know what your gifts or your talents are, I am begging with you, begging to you to find out what your gift and your talent is. There are ways to find out if you don't know what they are. There's spiritual gift surveys, and I apologize, but I missed getting one of those out, printed out on the counter. We do have those. I believe it's on our website as well. It's just a simple survey. Ask some questions that kind of maybe open it up to find out what some things you're good at. And then find a way to put those into action. They need to be an action way outside of this church. But this church, if this is your home, they need to be activated and used within the church, because that's what we're here for, right? What John taught last week, we are family, so we need to use those gifts and talents within the family to build the family up. For the purpose of this church, the vision of this church is to teach the word, to make disciples so that we can go out equipped and share the love of Jesus Christ with those who are lost. That's the intent of this church. And so your gift or your talent plays a part in that. And it was given to you to use to bless others around and bless others in this body. So if you do not know what it is, then please find out. And if you do know what it is, church, it's time to start using your gifts and talents for the Lord. It's time to step up. We can't sit back anymore. The people that will receive these dreams and visions are people who are actively using their gifts and talents, who are constantly acting and driven to be ambassadors for Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be, ambassadors for Christ. Now, we have a world around us that I think we would all agree is spiraling out of control towards the gates of hell. Amen? You know what, it's hard to shock me, but there are things that come out each week, and I'm very into the news and watching different things. There are new things that come out that just, are you serious? This is a new thing in the world. This is a new lifestyle. This is a new this. This is a new that. It just sometimes takes my breath away that this is the kinds of things that are going on. We are very good at being disgusted as Christians, aren't we? We see things in the world and we are disgusted that that's happening, that this is happening. But we shouldn't be surprised. We read it in our word and it said it was going to go that way. But, you know, it's easy to read that and we put a different spin on it until it starts playing out. We are angry to see what we see in the world. And we say it's wrong. Though let's be careful. It's not our job to judge those in the world. Right? Our job is to show what John talked about last week, which is love, so that we'll draw them to this relationship that we have. So we see all of this. We're disgusted. We say it's wrong. But what are we doing to change the course of those actions? What are we doing to disrupt whatever's going on out there? What are we doing? And there may be things going on that I know nothing about. That's another part of this about this church coming alive is if you're doing things, if there's things God's using you to do, we need to be sharing them with one another. We want to be excited. We want to be praying for you and whatever God's using you to do. But it would seem like the church has kind of become, and I'm guilty too, even as a pastor, kind of a sideline quarterback. We're really good at spending time on social media and making comments about stuff that we don't like. Well, you shouldn't be doing that. And then, you know, I see sometimes that Christians step out in the middle of conversations and say things that just make God look real bad. You know, we're good at doing that because we don't like what we see. We criticize what we see, but we don't get up to offer a different way. Church, it's time for the church to come back to life. It's time for the church to be revived. I can't make that happen in anybody else but me to become revived. I have a responsibility with my wife and I that we have a responsibility to come together to pray about our gifts and our talents and put them into use. That's where it starts. People sometimes put it on the leadership of the church or the pastors that take the front that say, well, you know, you need to bring about revival in the church, and we can't. Trust me, we would have done that many times throughout our lives in ministry if we could make revival happen. I can't. I can't make revival happen, but you can in you. And you, and you, and you, and if we all will take this back to our prayer closet and begin to pray about it and say, God, you know what? Pastor Tracy said, I've kind of been lulled. I've kind of not been using my gifts and talents. I want to start doing that. And if we would all start stepping up and being active about our faith more than we have. Because if this is the last days, then time is short and we have to be about the Lord's business. Amen? We've gotten caught up in a lot of things. We're easily distracted. I'm guilty of it. That we find this thing right here, amen, can take up so much of our time and so much of our focus, the technology that's out there. I know that God has, he uses that technology in amazing ways when we're focused on that. But Satan can too. Satan's the good of, I don't want to call him a god. Satan is good at distraction and getting us off track from where we're supposed to be. Amen? So it is time for the church to come back alive. I am imploring you. This was not something, you sit down, you write a sermon, so you kind of have this idea. John and I have been talking about different things. We've been praying about different things, been sharing different things that God's been talking to us about. When we came to this time, like John said, he was just really driven to talk about the love that's in there. And that's really the most important thing, that we come back to that. The love that we have for Christ comes out in the love that we have for one another. And that should drive everything. The love that we should have, there's a, I guess he would be a magician, comedian. Maybe some of you have seen the video with the gentleman Penn Jillette. It's on YouTube, if you look it up. And Penn Jillette was raised as a Christian, but is an atheist right now. But he had a man who came to one of his events and hung around afterwards and got to, you know, see him. And that man was a Christian, and he bought Penn Jillette a Bible, and he shared his faith with Penn Jillette. And the testimony, you have to hear it from his voice, because it's a man who says, I don't want to have anything to do with God. His statement was something like, if you believe that there was a truck coming my way and I'm standing in the middle of the road, how much must you hate me to not tell me about it? This man had great love. Even though he felt that I probably wouldn't receive it, he in love came to plead with me to tell me about this gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, that's a good man. That's a good man. You should watch it. Look it up. And I got off track. I didn't want to teach this. I didn't want to say the words that I'm saying right now. But church, we have been lulled to sleep. And it is time for Calvary Chapel Eastside to come back to life. I don't care if you're here right now, if you're on the camera, or if you're hearing this later watching a video. It is time for us to come back to life. It is time for us to become back to a passionate faith that just bubbles over, that is having an effect and reaching out to our community that in ways that aren't just the service, other things going on. It is time for our church to come back to life. That church to come back where signs and miracles take place, where visions and dreams are shared, where we are so passionate about our faith that we're affecting one another, which is affecting every influence that we have out in the world. It's time for Calvary Chapel Eastside to come back to life. We need everyone in the game. Every part is important. We read those scriptures where it talks about each part of the body and what's important. We're trying to put, you know, more importance on the pastor that takes the front. Can I tell you? I sit in this church all day long and take care of the business of the church. You're out there in your jobs and your connections. I have my connections as well, the people that we meet in the public and those that are around us as neighbors and such. But you have an opportunity to share this love and to become excited about it. And you know what? If you're not excited, it's a collective responsibility to build this excitement and this passion back up again so that we are having an effect on our community. So everyone is needed in this game. We need everyone actively figuring out their gifts and talents are and putting them to use. We need everyone working together for one purpose. The Bible's very clear on this, that just having faith and not putting it into action renders your faith dead. James, great book. If you have not read the book of James lately, you should. I see some heads shaking. Some of you have been in the book of James. Great book to read. Chapter 2 is where we're going to just pick up here. I want to share this with you. And so put a marker in your book in Bible in the book of James and later read through that book. It's not a long, long book, but it has some great life direction. And in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, it says this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is deeds." Now, let's be careful about this, because some are going to go, "Hey, what are you trying to say there? You know, we're saved by our deeds." James is not contradicting what the Apostle Paul already said before, and that is this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Write that down, if you will. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." So we'll be clear on that. The only thing that can save you. And I had this discussion the other day with someone who said, talked very highly about baptism. "I was baptized at this time, baptized, 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 baptized." Okay, but when did you give your life to Christ? Has there been a time where you gave your life to Jesus Christ? Again, for those of you who may not be saved, or maybe somebody's watching this online, there is a time where you come, where you believe and understand and accept the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, that he died on the cross for your sins, that you want to have a relationship with him, and you ask for that relationship. The words are not important. It's more of what that's on your heart, that you believe what you're saying, that you ask Jesus to come into your life so that you can be a new believer, be new, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Has anybody, I'm going to ask a question. In your life, is there anybody in here who, raise your hand if you've ever been able to sit down with somebody who wasn't saved and pray with them and they left saved? Is that not the most, there is no drug in the world that can bring that kind of high to be able to sit in front of somebody and to share that gospel with them. And that's what we're talking about here. For us to be able to go out and lead others to Christ and then teach them how to walk in the ways of the Lord. That is the most intense thing. So if you don't know the Lord and Savior, that's how you're saved. It's there for everybody. And if you don't know it, you can know it today. That's not what James is talking about here. He's just clarifying that this faith that we have is the works don't save us. I guess there's a saying that goes like this: faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. It has good works with it. And Paul goes on in Ephesians to say that in verse 10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We were created to do good works. We were created to labor for the kingdom of God. We were created to do those things. And if we have, if you have, if I have dropped back from doing that and just come into this place, and I was having a good conversation with one of our brothers on Thursday and said, you know, this world is going so crazy that I would just, you know, I've got kids and I just would rather that Christ return and take us all the way home. So I've got my eyes focused on there, and he had received something, a text, a little meme or something that called him to the carpet on that. That's what we've done. That's easily what we can do as we study this return of Christ. But this going through the revelation shouldn't be making us go, okay, well, let's just hunker down. Let's get down under something. We're going to wait for Christ's return. That's not what that knowledge is for. That knowledge is to share with others. That knowledge should energize us to say, we've got to do something about this. Our focus should be on what it is, and that is the mission field that we live in. You guys, if you're new here, when you leave here today, as you're driving out the driveway on the right-hand side, there's a white sign. What does it say? Welcome to the mission field. And that's what that should be about. This is a place where we can come together, build one another up, strengthen one another, use our gifts and talents to build one another up, to invest in things. And it's not just about in the church. Everybody always thinks, you're the administrative pastor here, Tracy, so you're just trying to get people in Sunday school. Not the case, but that is important. There are young kids back there that need to hear the gospel. How many stories have I heard over my lifetime of young children coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, going home and sharing it with their parents who then get saved themselves. So that is important. The greeters that we have at the front door, we could use more of them. That's not what I'm preaching about, but we could use more of them. Why? Because how many of you ever come to a church where you've walked in the door and you kind of, I'm not sure about this place, I don't know what I think, and then all these people shake your hand and tell you welcome and care, and you walk away going, that really made me feel good. So those things are important too, but that's not why I'm preaching here. But we were created to do good works. So if you have been lulled by Satan's schemes, if you have been lulled to sleep a bit, if you've pulled back, I implore you, please stop. Stop where you're at and let's step stepping forward. Let's start getting involved in each other's lives. Let's start doing something for the kingdom of God. Not just saying, well, I'm a believer, but I sit in my house. And I think Satan just loved that. When we couldn't talk to one another, when we were away from each other, I think he just loved that. When you go to write a sermon, you always ask God for this really cool ending. He didn't give me one. So what are we going to do, church? I've just delivered the message that God said, that we've been lulled to sleep. We've just been in the place where we're just coming to church. But I want to be that Acts chapter 2 church. Don't you? Wouldn't you love to see things like that going on where people walk in and just, man, what is going on in this place? This is crazy. There's visions, there's signs of people being healed. What is this all about? Well, we can look back at that church and start to copy some of the things. We got to start somewhere, amen? The best thing that we could do, the first thing, would be to get more involved in one another's lives. Everybody was quiet on that one. But growing up, there was something we did. I grew up in a Wesleyan church in Des Moines, Iowa. Anybody know where Des Moines is at? Probably not. Iowa stands for idiots out walking around. I'm just saying. I'm from Iowa, I can say that. You don't have to be a farmer to be outstanding in your field. But in Iowa, back when I was a kid, my mom would put on a roast, because that's what you do for Sunday, right? Put it in the crock pot, get everything going. And they would go with the intention of, and I don't even know if they really knew why they were doing it, but they would go to church, and you've heard me say this before, you're like, you've always said this, but they would go with the intention they're going to invite somebody over to their house. Who are we having over? I don't know. Let's just kind of mingle around. We see somebody, hey, would you like to come over? We see in that second chapter of Acts, that church, that picture is that they were together a lot. They were involved in each other's lives a lot. So if we could do one thing, besides praying when you leave this place and for the rest of this week, God, I have, and just going before him and saying, you know, I know that I'm forgiven already, but I don't know what your relationship is like. The Lord, I always say, God, I'm sorry. I haven't been doing all that I'm supposed to do. I just do because that's my relationship with him. I love him. He's my friend. And so I want to, you know, there's times I know that I'm forgiven already, but, and I say, God, I want to start stepping back up, and I know what my gifts and talents are, and then I start begin to pray, God, where should I use those talents? Where can I do more than I have been doing already? I don't think there's too much that we can do. I don't think there's too much when it comes to the kingdom of God, especially if we agree that this is the last days. I want to be busy about his work, not mine, not the church's, not anybody else's. I want to be busy about God's work until the day he takes me home. Amen? So that's the first thing that we can do. And the second thing is kind of two-part, and this is something I want to encourage you to pray about. If you're a part of this church, that you start to do just what I described. I'd love to see, what does coming over to someone's house have to do with the church getting back to that? Well, that's what one of the things that they were doing. That one of the things you could do is that on a regular basis, start having people come to church with the intent or pray or walk around when you're praying, when we're doing the handshake thing. Don't just stay with the same group of people. Make your way across the sanctuary, meet new faces, and say, hey, would you like to come over for dinner or lunch? We're just going to have a quick lunch today. Would you love to come over? But not just that. Then when you're there and you have people in your home and the intimacy of your home, that you take some time and go, we're going to pray for the rest of the church here at Calvary Chapel Eastside and outwards from there, that we would be able to, other people would get that same passion. We want to be passionate, and we want the church to be passionate, and that you spend some time in that group praying together for the church. Easy peasy, right? And some of you are like, well, but you, our house. I just don't know if I want to have people over. How many of you have been to my house? Raise your hand. My wife's laughing. So when we bought our house, first house we've ever owned, it's near downtown. It's less than 1,000 square feet upstairs. It is small, to say the least. It is small. But when I prayed for that house, I sat up the street and prayed if God would open the door for us to let that house, we would use that house for his kingdom. We would have people over. We would invest in people. Not just as a pastor, but just me as a part of the kingdom of God, that we would do that. And boy, has he used that. You say, well, my house is not that big. So I have a little less than 1,000 square feet upstairs. And there was one time that my pastor, we love him so much, decided to announce from the pulpit that everybody was meeting over at my house. For, I don't remember, it was the balloons or something? Yeah. 70 people showed up at my house. And 70 people filled the front yard and all through the living room. And then back then, we didn't have such a beautiful backyard as we do now. And packed out the house. And it was glorious. And that's happened more than once. My house is not fancy. It's 121 years old this year. And we're still working on it. And there's an outhouse. No, I'm kidding. There isn't. We have a real flush toilet. It's starting to peel outside because of all the stinking moisture. There's a lot of things that need to be done. But you know what? We are going to be opening up our house more to say, come over and let's fellowship together. Let's spend time together. Let's get to know one another so that then maybe the people we invite over, we're going to encourage them. You do the same. And just think of that. If that starts happening and we start mingling together that much as a church, how much would that change the dynamics of when we come together? Okay? So I'm just going to leave that with you. God's word says that we're supposed to be active in the kingdom. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. My gift is my home, so I'll use that. It's time for the church to raise up. It's time to start seeing some passion in here that we haven't seen for a while. Maybe to a level of passion that we've never seen in Calvary Chapel Eastside. That would be amazing, but it isn't something that I can make happen. It is only something that you individually can make happen, and it's contagious. When you start getting excited about your faith, your talents, your gift, you start serving one another, it's contagious. That's all I have today. I want to leave that in the Holy Spirit's hand. Band, you guys can come up here. Sorry, didn't give you the last jump a second. I'm not okay with the way things are. I'm not here to judge you by any means. This is not, if you thought this was judgment on you from me, please remove that from your minds. This is not judgment on me, but I want to be a cheerleader. I want to say it's time to get excited again, and I want to see what the gifts and talents start swirling around this place. I want to see men having visions. I want to see new ministries pop up. I want to see people having dreams about things that are going to happen and seeing those dreams implemented, seeing things, exciting things happen, and it can. And you say, well, look around, boy, we're a little sparse today. Who cares? My Bible tells me if just a couple of us come together and get that attitude, that it becomes contagious. The last part of that church is that in Acts, probably the most important sentence and the one thing that I would love to see. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Isn't that it? Let's get active, church. Let's come back to life. Father God, we love you. We love you. But we are an imperfect people. I am an imperfect man. And Lord, we have fallen short in many ways, and thankfully you are a God of grace that has forgiven that even before I'm even having this conversation with you, Lord. You've already forgiven me in that. Lord, I pray that you stir in me an excitement that maybe that isn't there, or maybe that has been lulled to sleep by what's been going on in the world, or just by my own actions, Lord. Lord, bring back an excitement for the gospel in each and every one of us, an excitement for the kingdom, a passion to want to share that with others around us, a passion to invest in one another, Lord. Please bring that back to the table. Bring that back to each and every one of us. I pray that if anybody in this congregation, anybody online, anybody that hears this later, if they have fallen back where they have just become complacent in their faith, that, Lord, they would be convicted, myself included, that I would be convicted in those areas and that I would take action and move upon those things, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your correction, Father God. You're an amazing God, and we love you. And it's in your great and glorious name. As we sing this last song, if you're struggling with something, because here's the other thing. If you're walking in sin and you're caught up in some sin and that's hindering you from doing that, then stop. Stop it. And get up here and get it right with the Lord. We'll pray with you. If there's something in your life that needs to be dealt with so that you can be used by God, then please do that because we need you. This kingdom needs you. God's kingdom needs you. This church needs you. So if you're struggling with something, come up. And then elders and deacons will come up. We'll pray with you guys. Or you can do it right at your chair too. Amen? Let's sing.